If God wants you to become a bad person, how would He do it? He will make a magic and somehow in you the tendency of talking negative about people rises. That's how you become bad. And if He wants to lead you towards heaven, you think about the other people good. That's the secret. Remember the baby was purified and he called the mother and other, all of them, everybody is good. Somebody in you is saying everybody is bad. Somebody is saying everybody is good. When He wants to lead you towards heaven, He will provoke that one. In you, you will start to make those seven gates of the hell open by thinking bad about the other people. When He wants to lead you towards the heaven, you think good about the other people. You talk good about other people. Because other people matter to you. When you get rid of that selfishness, then you realize that I'm not important really. Oh, I always remember the movie The Day After. It was an old movie. This is the day after the atomic bomb, something like that. A guy who has been in mining stuff and stuck over there for some reasons, he's alive. He comes out. And the first thing he does is, when he realizes everybody is dead, nobody's around, what is the first thing to do? Of course, get a car. He will break a window and he will get a car. Later the story goes towards the fear, suddenly he realizes what an awful life is waiting for him. First of all, he's full of fear. Because the rest of the society will give me the peace of mind to sleep at night. If nobody is around, the wolves are crying, I will be frightened. Then solitude, loneliness, we think that will bring the happiness, will vanish. All the sources of happiness will vanish if the rest of the people will go away and you're left alone here alone. But the selfish part doesn't get this, does it? So Rumi, make sure that you will think about it. You will say, listen, this is how God will lead you. This way or that way. Yes.
I had a question. It's not good to say or think bad things about people, but it's almost here as if by saying it, he then exposes it to himself and then he apologizes for it.
That's why I insisted that was just one example and we didn't give you the result. Forget about that, read the rest.
When God wishes to rend the veil of anyone, He turns His inclination towards reviling holy men. And if God wishes to hide the blame of anyone, He does not breathe a word of blame against the blamer.
And the word is not blame, really, because it's aib. Aib means shortcoming, means wrongfulness, means rotten part, means non-functional part. A lot, these are aib, because aib is the opposite of the healthy. And health is that Islam, Salem, you remember? The Islam, we say it is the healthy one. Unhealthy is aib. Here he talks about aib. And say, when God wants to cover up your shortcoming, He will make you to tend towards covering up the shortcoming of the other people. You do this, it will be done to you, period. Read it again, please. When God wishes.
When God wishes to rend the veil of anyone, He turns His inclination towards reviling holy men. And if God wishes to hide the blame of anyone, he does not breathe a word of blame against the blame.
That one, when God wants to cover the blame of anyone, that anyone will go towards covering up the rest, yes?
When God wishes to help us, he turns our inclination towards humble lament.
Why? Here is something that is a little bit difficult to get because, again, we are in the mercy of Arab language. Is zari. Then the other word is humbleness. This humbleness, you know what's the opposite of being humble?
Arrogance.
Pharaoh. Pharaohship in Arab language. He's talking about the Pharaoh, the ego, and the other part. So he plays with that word. That's why it is zari, means, and it goes with your, it rhymes with that word. Means that when he wants to help you, he will make you cry. You look strangely, but maybe even you did it. Do you have a child?
Yes.
So you did it. When the child is sleeping, you will wake the child up to feel it. Because the child could remain asleep and die. You have to take care of it. So making you cry is a motherhood taking way of taking care of the baby. And
oh, happy the eye that is weeping for his sake. Oh, fortunate the heart that is seared for his sake.
So you see, suddenly, all the things that you don't like is a sheer luck to me. Crying is good, because you'll be noticed. I love the guy who is burning in a fire from him, because it will be purified. Everything turns around over there, right? So, good for the people who transform. Then?
The end of every weeping is laughter at last. The man who foresees the end is a blessed servant. Wherever is flowing water, there is greenery. Wherever are running tears, mercy is shown.
Why is that so? Is this new or we heard about this before? Do you remember we had this one before? No. Please remind me next time not to let her in, because what's the use? We explained all of it and you don't remember. You have to remember our king crying. His second paragraph. Remember the king who saw the shortcoming of all these medical person, went to the mosque, went in mihrab, cried in a way that he flooded that little piece of prayer, right? He's talking about that again and again, because you have to understand it really. One of the crying is out of misery. When I understand that I'm miserable, you know why I'm miserable? Because I see that I have two parts. One part is the animal part, selfish part. The other one is the bread. And I'm trying to do something about it. And there is a moment of happiness. It's not up to me only to do about it. I'll be helped. There are other forces working for me. So, I have to at least understand my shortcoming. How much is my shortcoming? Do you know how much my shortcoming is? It's very simple. Imagine me going towards God. How is my speed? 6 kilometers per hour is maximum. What? How long does it take to run over there? I'll run never, right?